Well, hello.
Are we testing? Is it starting? This is it. Oh,
my gosh. It's not radio. You can just start.
Wow.
Yep.
Magic.
Welcome back to the No Big Two Comic Review Podcast.
Woo!
I'm Adam Buckfusco here with Jacob Corum.
Yes, that's my name. You sounded like you were not sure for a second.
It took
think,
a minute.
Like, oh, what's this guy's name?
And we are actually recording here at the Raleigh Comic Book Show, also dubbed the Raleigh Comic Con, at the Hampton Inn. This is a new show that was built off an old show that was once at the Holiday Inn.
Oh.
Yeah, that show was going on for about 20 years.
There was a lot of people here today. I was actually surprised. I haven't been to this thing or any version of it before, and I wasn't sure what to expect, but coming here, it's like packed, man. Like, it's a small little area, but it's like filled to the gills.
You could barely walk in that room.
Yeah, I was like getting very close to some people. We got very close today. just having to shoulder through and find the books that you wanted and everything.
There's a lot of thumbing. If you are a fan of going through long boxes and losing yourself within them, like, this is a show for you.
I wasn't even planning on spending anything today, but I was just like, because I'm not a big fan of like collecting comics like you are, or
right,
like kind of like getting, building up collections, but I am like just a fan of the books, like the collections of the, like the stories,
the trades,
and
omnibus.
And I was just like, oh, I wonder what's going on in here. And I was just like, I became one of them. Like, I was just like, I was like, move, I have to see if they have the rest of this Fantastic Four run. And they did, and I got it, and it was great.
Awesome.
And then I just kind of like ignored Adam for like, how long was I out? I just read through an entire Fantastic Four book, and I just felt bad because I was like ignoring the world around me for a while.
That's all right.
Yeah. You were doing good, though. You were selling stuff.
Yeah, so I'm here selling my prints, or pushing papers, as I like to say. I actually got that phrase from...
pushing papers?
Yeah. The illustrator of the Accelerators comic.
Oh, yeah. In the No Big Two review blog.
Yeah.
Blog review,
but,
not show.
Yeah, I got some DC and some Marvel stuff, kind of, along with some Universal Monster prints and meeting some
people. You sold a lot today.
I sold more than I thought I would.
Yeah.
But
every time you tell me you sell stuff, I'm like, you bought. You kind of like handed yourself money.
I was really good. I spent more money at the snack bar than...
Did you fund your snack endeavors, though?
I did.
Like, there you go. You broke even.
Yep. But yeah, no, it's really cool. I'm at the Artist Alley area with a couple of local comic book illustrators.
We've got some talented people here.
Threw out some business cards, and maybe we could get them on the show. That would be great. And definitely something to check back in with us later on.
And you've already got some gifts from some artists.
Gifts, yep. From Lawson Wallace and Sandy Jarrell's here.
Cool little Harley Quinn drawing you got right there, though, that you got from there. Yeah, it's very nice.
Yeah.
I'm jealous.
You should be.
I can take it, right? I'm just going to take it from you. It looks really cool. But did you get anything yet? Did you buy anything?
No.
You haven't bought anything yet?
I have. Man.
I'm weaker willed than you are?
I'm just kind of here to enjoy, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. I when the things die down, and maybe when we're done with this, you know?
Yeah.
We'll crack.
It's pretty crazy in there, too. So are you just waiting for...
Yeah.
All the stuff's disappearing, though. That's the thing.
That's
like,
true.
I went in there for... I had one book in mind, and it was a No Big Two book to keep it relevant, because I bought some Fantastic Four stuff, but that's not relevant to this podcast. We don't talk about that here.
You can talk about the Big Two.
No, but I saw a anthology book, and that's like my favorite stuff right there. Can I cuss on this?
Yes.
That's some good shit. Like, I love the anthology
books.
You
clearly
books.
Don't listen to Damn Art Majors.
I listen to it. Do they curse on Damn Art Majors?
We actually had Dutters from Damn Art Majors here.
Yeah, he showed up.
Left. He's coming.
I met him.
But yes, No Big Two and Damn Art Majors exist in the same universe.
They're real. I met them. They're not just, you think they're not real guys, but they're there.
They're there.
They live among us.
It's not me doing impersonations.
Yeah, but I found this one book, and I'm it's gonna kill me. It was just called like American Comics or something like that. It had a really cool looking indie cover, and it was thick. It was a thick bitch. Like, it was just like, it was, and I was like, oh my gosh. And I saw on the back it was like $25, but then on the long box it said $5. $5. I had the question to the guy. I was like, is this $5? He's like, yeah, this is $5. Is it $5 written on that? I was like, yes. And I didn't have any money on me. So I came back and I was like, I had to borrow $2 from Adam. And I went back. I owe you sodas now, multiple sodas. But I had to go, I went back and it was already gone. I'll never read that thick bitch. It's just gone for me forever. Yeah.
Yeah. I saw they have a vendor here has a Saga number one, the Brian
Yeah,
K. Vaughan.
You mentioned that.
$80.
That's impressive.
That book is what, a year old?
I knew Saga was popular, but I didn't know it was like that. $80 popular?
Yeah.
Like, that means that like it's not just popular, like it's infamous. Like people are willing to
Let's
like spend money on it.
Let's just put it this way: I've sold some prints, but I haven't sold like Saga buying prints.
Yet. These are maybe it's because you're selling these for $80.
I mean, I should sell my prints for $80. I'll sell them for Saga books.
Yeah, but I mean, like that's impressive to me because like there are. Like, there's the first issue of Spider-Man in there in the black costume. I think that's selling for, like, $40 or something like that, which means Saga is doing better, which is, like, crazy. It makes me happy because, like, how much do you think Why Last Man sells for, which is done by Brian K. Vaughan as well?
The whole series?
Or just the first one, you think, like, the first trade?
The first trade you could pick up for $10.
I mean, I'm
first
sorry. Issue. Sorry.
I have no idea. I mean, you'll be lucky
probably a lot.
Probably find one.
Yeah, probably. That's probably why it's selling for so much, though.
You know what? You come out to conventions like this, and you know, you have your list. This is what I do. And a little word to the wise for people who have never been to a convention and don't know anything about them. They're a little bit overwhelming.
It was pretty crazy in there, yeah.
Brace yourself for that. But the best way to make sure you kind of stay on target and you don't go spending crazy money on things is to have a list, you know.
Oh, see, I didn't do that.
Yeah, if you have a list and you, like, know what you're looking for and you try not to deviate from the list, which is really hard.
Yeah,
you know, you come with a goal, you come with the plan, you get what you need, you have some fun. And you meet some great people, you know, you have some good times, you see some great costumes, you know.
We saw not too many costumes. We saw Guy in Predator that he made himself, which was nice.
Homemade Predator. We saw Mario and Luigi thugging out.
They were like cool. It was very they looked very Need for Speed.
Yeah.
Kinda, like Mario Kart Need for Speed edition.
Maybe they caught a Fast star and just, you know, took it off.
Video game references. I got that joke. No, okay. But do you think that Predator guy's dreads were real? That was something I was wondering.
I don't know.
Because they were dreads. They were dreads, yeah. But they weren't like Predator dreads. So they could have, I wasn't sure if he actually was like, do you think like the dreads inspired the Predator costume? Or do you think the Predator costume inspired the dreads? Like, that's something I wish I had asked him.
Well, if he tunes in.
Predator guy.
Predator
if
guy,
you're out
we're
there.
We're calling out to you, bud.
Are those your dreads?
Real dreads, fake dreads, Judge Dreads. What's going on?
Does Judge Dredd fall under the No Big 2 category for us?
Absolutely.
Okay. I'm excited about the fact that there might be a second movie if anyone hasn't seen that.
There is some talk about
some rumblings.
One of my favorite actors, Carl Urban, taking up the helmet again and reprising his role as Judge Dredd.
Yeah. I only know him from... I didn't even know that was him, honestly. Like, I watched the entire movie, and I, like,
well, he
months
never takes
afterwards...
his helmet off.
Yeah, but, like, he's the law and all that, and I just never... And I don't know, he was in Star Trek, right? Like, he was...
He was McCoy.
I'm a doctor, damn it.
He was
I'm
one
a judge,
of my favorite things about the Star Trek movies.
He was pretty fun. Yeah. And I was like, when I saw it, like, he did something at another comic book convention where he was like, we're trying, guys. We're trying to make it happen. Like, the whole internet is, like, pretty much on top of.
I really like Carl Urban. I'm okay with Affleck playing Batman, but I was really pulling. If you're going to go for an older, more grizzled Batman, I really wanted to see Carl Urban.
You mentioned that, and I don't know. I'm excited to see how Ben Affleck's going to do, but we'll see. But I know we're not supposed to talk about, like,
you
Captain America.
I want
to talk about Captain America.
You can't talk about Captain America.
Why can't I talk about Captain America?
You will say something that you shouldn't
say. Oh, I probably will.
Yeah, you get too excited.
I probably will.
Yeah.
I started spoiling things for my friend when I went to go. I saw it not the midnight release. It was the 10 o'clock release, which just feels old.
That's actually, you know,
I don't
what?
Like that.
As
I know
funny
you
as
do.
It is, I think the 10 o'clock release is kind of nice for people who have to work the next day. And
Yeah, it is. And I did have work the next day, and it did make my day much more enjoyable. But I don't know. I felt like I kind of missed that kind of, like, dedication, like, you know, like the filtering of, like, before, because it's, like, the hardcore. But it was nice because it was a full theater when I went, and it was, like, there were Marvel cameos mentioned. Spoiler alert.
There was a name.
Stan Lee shows up at one point.
What?
Didn't see that coming, did ya?
That was, like, the best part of the movie is one name. A name is said. That's all I will say. They say a name.
See, that's what I'm talking about.
It changes the whole universe.
Something that's really got me excited about this one is for the first time in, like, since I first started watching these movies, I'm not the only one gasping in the theater anymore when these names were mentioned. It was really cool because, like, I'm usually, like, annoying my friends because I'm that guy who's like, oh my gosh, and they're like, who's that? And then I have to go and explain, like, 20 years of comics to them and explain why that's so cool. But for this, at this 10 o'clock showing on Thursday night before it came out, I was not the one gasping. I was, like, surrounded by people gasping, and it was a really cool feeling. Like, and it wasn't just, like, nerdy looking people. Like, there was a group of girls behind me who came to the, like, not midnight showing, but they were, like, big fans, and they were explaining all the I almost mentioned a name. I will not, though,
because
I am strong.
To tie this back, the comic in which the movie was based on was written by the writer Brew Baker.
Mm-hmm.
Brew Baker is also the writer of Velvet, which is comic that I reviewed a couple months ago.
I want to read that now.
See Winter Soldier, and you totally dig the spy thriller theme of it, which I know I did.
Mm-hmm.
Pick up Velvet.
Was Velvet the same vein of, like, idea? Like, was it the same kind of, like, concept of, like, international super thriller kind of?
Yeah, definitely. Velvet takes
place
in
arms
the 19. It's very down to earth.
No.
Yeah, but it takes place in the 1960s. It's very, like.
It is. That sounds like what he wants to write.
Spy thriller, very, you know, Bond-esque. Only Velvet is, you know, she's not a spring chicken spy. She's not Black Widow. She's, you know, she's got a resume. She's got a couple years on her.
I wouldn't say Black Widow's a spring chicken. She seems pretty weathered.
Wow. Really?
Yeah. What do you mean? What are you really
because
mean?
Because ScarJo's gotten up there in age?
Oh, now you're saying things that I'm not saying. I think she was pretty badass in this. I think she was
could play Velvet.
Yeah, see, that's what I mean. Like, I didn't feel like she was a spring chicken whatsoever, but I don't know. See, like, the thing I really liked, because you were describing, you upset me at one point, because you were like,
I upset you?
Yeah, because you were like, this Captain America movie looks like the new Born Identity or whatever, and I was just like, no, it's not. It looks good. And you were like, what?
Well, I enjoyed
about?
The first Bourne
it's because,
movie.
The thing that makes this so great, and the reason I probably won't check out Velvet now, I love Brew Baker, love him. He did so good with his Winter Soldier arc, but I don't like myself being too realistic because I know that stuff is actually out there and it scares me. I like metal arms and giant robots and just ridiculous stuff in my espionage.
I will say Velvet's only on issue 4.
They might get there. I want a metal arm.
Somebody may get a metal arm.
I want a metal arm. Two metal arms.
Whoa, now.
Yeah.
That's like Jax from Mortal Kombat.
That's like twice as good as one metal arm.
I just pulled a Mortal Kombat
reference.
Yeah.
There's probably some Mortal Kombat comic out there that we could probably.
I know they did the, like, Legends of Mortal Kombat, like the online video series, and I think they collected that into a DVD of the, like, realistic Mortal Kombat, or at least, like, the reimagined.
I like the campiness kind of mixed in with the seriousness, because I think you can accomplish a lot with that. Like, you don't, like. Like, you don't have to be super grimdark to get, like, a serious message across in your comics and stuff like that. But
if you enjoy silly, geeky conversations, this is your safe haven to do that.
Yeah.
Not just this podcast, but cons.
Yeah.
You'll meet very like-minded individuals, and you can engage in conversations that, you know, you can't really talk
to. I really
to
don't
your
do cons.
About.
You know, I don't do cons.
You don't.
I don't. I usually, like, I was, I, that's where I was, like, kind of amazed how easily I was swept into it. I came here not planning to spend any money. I'm broke right now because I saw Captain America twice. But as soon as I got here, I was just like, oh, let's see what's in here. And I started finding stuff that I was really into, and I was amongst them. I was shoulder to shoulder with dudes trying to fight for room. trying to make it, like, you know, just trying to find stuff. And there's one book in there I'm trying really hard not to get right now.
Which book is that?
Marvel has a little book, and it's kind of between, like, No Big Two and Marvel. Marvel hires a bunch of indie artists to do something called Strange Tales, which is, like, an older book. But it's a really interesting... If you listen to the first time I came on, you know I like webcomics, and I like the indie scene online. That's really, like, my home. But there's a Strange Tales anthology in there in hardcover, and it's got, like, the cover, I love it. It's just, like, a small picture of Thor doing the, what do you call it? Like, the hammer at the carnival. Like, he's using, and it's like, just, like, fun stuff like that that I like, and I'm like, it's on that $5 box, and I'm just like, I want it. I want to go in there.
You won't find it in that $5 box on eBay.
No.
You won't find it on Amazon.
But it's like you said, though.
You won't find it in your own shop.
It's like you said, though. You got to go in with a list. Like, I came in with, like, no list, and I've made a mistake. Like, I'm spending money now. Like, I'm like, oh, I want that. I want that. I recollected an entire run of Fantastic Four by Mark Waid.
Right.
And he's done some cool indie stuff as well.
Definitely.
But... I'm trying to tie it back into the podcast so hard because I know. Cool. Well, it's like, I don't know, there's so much cool stuff here. Somebody had a Shazam run, and you know I love Shazam.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like envious. He got like it was Shazam meeting Superman.
You call him Shazam. I call him Captain Marvel.
He's Captain Marvel. He's, well, Shazam now, which I don't know how I feel about that, but
the legality
I guess there's only
situation.
One. But even Marvel has, like, multiple Captain Marvels.
And what issue of Shazam was that? Because that...
I don't know. I think it was an issue of, like, Superman that had Shazam
Silver Age type of thing?
It looks like Silver Age. I don't know. Billy Batson had the soulless eyes still, where just dots. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff in there. It was really... It was a museum of stories. It was really interesting. But... And everyone was trying to, like, fix collections. Like, everyone was, like... Do you have what was one? I didn't even know people cared about them. The Metal Men.
Metal Men, they're coming back.
Are they?
They're coming back. They just got reintroduced in the New 52.
I don't know. Like, they keep trying to. Like, I feel like that's one of those things that, like, there's like a group of like 20 people who love them so much, and they like bust their asses trying to get that to work. Like, they just like, and I think it's a cool concept. They're kind of like the original X-Men in a sense, if like Xavier had kind of like invented the mutants or whatever. I don't know. It's a crazy concept, but it's neat, and I like seeing them pop up and stuff. But it was cool hearing somebody like, do you have any Metal Men? I need the Metal Men. And I'm like, wow, you exist. That was interesting. But yeah.
How you guys doing? We're doing a podcast here for OakCityHustle.com. Have you been enjoying the convention?
Yeah. Did you guys see Captain America yet?
You did?
Did you like it? Oh, yes. You know, earlier I was about to spoil some stuff too, man.
I won't talk too much about it.
Ah, so good though, right? Yeah, it was awesome.
See,
we can't talk about it because it was like, oh, it's so awesome. I'm so excited.
Thank you.
Oh, that's my business card. Thanks, guys.
Bye. Everyone on the podcast is just kind of like, what just happened? I'm going to edit that out probably. Or
bits and pieces.
Bits and pieces.
Come on, all right. My sales
pitch. He was excited about the end credit sequence. You sure you don't want to talk about that? That was so cool.
Jacob.
It was awesome, though.
Jacob.
I'm excited. Can we do like a spoiler section?
Reel it in.
Can we just like, so good. Right.
Nope.
No Big Two.
That is literally the name. How about no spoilers?
No spoilers? That'd be a cool podcast. Just spoil stuff like that. Like, just call it spoiler podcast. Like, we just talk about endings of movies.
That's something we could pursue. I know you had interest in...
Should probably do more than three episodes of this one first.
You had expressed some interest in taking up the web comic portion.
I kind of came today because I wasn't sure how busy and exciting this was going to be, and ended up being more exciting than I thought it was going to be. But there's a couple of webcomics that I was going to mention, like something we don't really talk about here, but comic strips kind of fall into the category of No Big Two as well.
Absolutely.
Like a lot of...
Like Marmaduke?
You know I love Marmaduke. You know he's my favorite. It goes,
Marmaduke,
it goes,
that pie's not for you.
It goes Marmaduke, then Spider-Man, then Heathcliff, of course. But no, but like when the
Heathcliff is a $2 Garfield man.
No, we talked about this. I like him because if you go and look at the most current Heathcliff comics, the creator seems to be going through some mental degeneration, and that's sad. But the comics have become so much more interesting now. Like they feel like abstract pieces, or everyone's not sure. Maybe he just doesn't care anymore, or what's going on. But like, it's just weird. I'd recommend you check it out. Heathcliff, go look at Heathcliff.
That is Jacob's
pick. No big two. No big two recommended. But
where do you see the future of the convention? Bigger, better every year.
Hey, since I've gotten on to help him, I'm trying to make it as big as possible.
This one turned out really well. Like, this is packed in there. It's awesome. Yeah, no, that's absolutely true. I had to. Yeah, that's good.
Pushing the social media front of it.
Yeah, Facebook, Twitter, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Right on.
If you can get on something, do it.
So what kind of things do future guests and people, audience, have to look forward to? Do you got any big plans?
I mean, we're going to try to do different things. I mean, we all... This is a new location, so this is the first date here. We're just trying to get a feel for the atmosphere, the tables, the people that have been coming. Next show, we're going to try to do like a little sign-on book at the door. You sign in, put your email address, name. That way we can send you updates and various
things. Be part of the Raleigh comic community.
Exactly. You know, and that... California, the Comic-Con's so big. Here, we'll never get that big.
Right.
But we can come close.
Yeah,
just give somebody something to do.
Definitely.
Keeps the kids from doing, getting in trouble and doing things they're not supposed to. Then pick up a comic book and read it. When I was a little kid, I'd grab a comic book over a paperback any day.
Right.
I mean, think about it. So.
And when would the next show be?
I'm not sure.
It's on
the plan.
Are you going to be doing more shows in 2014?
Yeah, he typically does 3 to 4 a year.
Okay.
So the next one.
He's going away now. I'm sure he'll be back.
And the next show will be August 24th, Sunday.
Oh, that's soon.
August 24th. So if you want to live the experience, come on down. We'll
live
be
the
here
experience.
At the Hampton.
Yes, this will be. This is going to be
the new home.
Yeah, this will be its home for until it gets out grown.
Very cool.
But see, the cool thing is that other section's got another room, so we can always
expand.
Very cool.
Look at this hotel, it's nice.
So, if people wanted to get involved and find out more information, how would they do that?
Facebook.
They can contact them on Facebook.
On Facebook.
Right now, it's the Raleigh Comic Book Show.
Right.
We're going to change the name. So just any comments, questions, any feedback that people could give us to say, hey, maybe do this, maybe do that, or different things, shoot it on there, put a message, inbox, whatever.
Awesome. And for the time being, as the show starts to grow, remember that it is free admission.
It most likely will stay
like
free
that.
Forever.
And
if we that's ever a promise
do,
there.
If we ever do charge it, it'll go to a charity.
Oh, very cool.
We're not about putting money in our pockets. We make them off doing this.
Very cool. Very cool. I appreciate you coming on the podcast and setting up the show. We wouldn't be here if it wasn't for you guys.
It's all my dad, man. Like 4 years ago, he wanted to quit him, and I just said, you know what, dude? We didn't keep doing it.
Definitely.
Very
definitely
cool.
Keep the Raleigh comic book community going, man.
Just keep something, man.
Definitely. So. Right. Appreciate it.
Thanks. So he was the... He's the guy running the show right now?
Lynn Anderson is the one who puts on the show. And
oh, okay.
His son is helping out and kind of taking the reins a little bit.
Very cool. Kind of taking over.
Yep. So, yeah, if you want to check out more information about the Raleigh Comic Book Show, stop by their Facebook.
Oh, Superman and Batman just walked in.
Oh. This is a non-visual medium. A happy family of young DC
young
characters.
Young Clark Kent and Bruce Wayne siblings.
It's like they're enjoying the show. Okay. Very fun. Was that ever you?
Who did I? I was Batman.
You were Batman?
I was Batman a lot as a kid. I think mostly because my mom couldn't make a Spider-Man costume. She couldn't figure it out, but it's pretty hard.
Yeah.
But,
you ever get one of those plastic, like, store-bought apron things with a plastic mask with a little string of,
No. I don't know what you're talking about.
You ever had those? Oh, man. I remember when I was a kid. You would get them at, like, Walgreens, and they had the little elastic band on a plastic mask that would always, like, either break or just, like, cut through your ear.
Oh, my God. That sounds great.
Like, it was, like, you know.
It's like a cherished memory.
The costume was just like the material of like a garbage bag, and it'd be printed with like Batman on it or something.
That's awesome.
Like that. They were awful.
No, my mom made me a little homemade Batman outfit, which is like a gray shirt and like the cowl and the cape. And there's a home video of me running around while my dad goes no 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 no, just run around trying to get the cape flowing. And there's like another there's another video where I'm just like standing like up on the counter in the bathroom, and my mom's just like, Jacob, who are you? And I'm like, I'm Batman. It's like, who are you, Jacob? I'm Batman. Then I fall off the counter, and they just pick me back up, and I'm like, I got that look on my face where I'm like, am I okay? And my parents are like, you're fine, you're okay, don't cry.
Batman doesn't cry.
Batman doesn't cry. But yeah, no, I was a big Batman fan growing up as a kid. Just, I think it was the animated series, or maybe the movies. I don't know what it was, but
the Tim Burton and the.
It's interesting how those are now like, those are kids' movies.
Yeah, like the way that our generation kind of views the 66 Adam West Batman, like the new generation of comic readers have that same kind of stigma with the Tim Burton.
Yeah, it's so interesting.
Man, the times they are changing.
Yeah. It's very interesting. But yeah, I grew up watching the Adam West one, I think. My parents were fond of me watching that. I didn't realize that was a kid's show. I thought that was all serious. Did you ever think about that? Did you grow up watching the Adam West one?
No, I really didn't.
Oh,
actually,
didn't?
I only started really kind of getting caught up on the Adam West one since DC has gotten the rights
but
back.
But it was like, when I was older, when I was like a teenager, I watched the Adam West one again, and I was like, oh, this is campy. Like, I didn't realize, like, as a kid, that I was like, oh, no. The bomb. He's got to defuse the bomb. What's he gonna do with
it? Some days you just can't get.
Yeah, and that was all very serious to me. Like, not really like serious. Like, it didn't scare me as a kid, but like, I did not assume they were just messing like with kids. Like, oh no, what's he gonna do with that bomb? But I don't know. Were you a Batman fan as a kid? Or,
absolutely.
Yeah?
Lifelong. I mean, I think it all started probably with the Bruce Timm animated series, as well as the Michael Keaton Batmans.
How old were you when those came out?
The first one came out in 89.
Yeah.
So
I was born.
Two?
I was born.
But my father, being the person he was more than happy to show us movies, probably
cool movies.
Yeah,
the cool
you
ones.
Know, like he let us watch our kids' movies and whatnot, but like he was gonna sit you down and you were gonna watch Ghostbusters.
That's
you were
cool.
Gonna watch, you know, Goonies or you
my
know.
Mom wasn't okay with that. I don't think I even saw the Tim Burton Batman until I was like much older.
Oh, really? Like,
yeah. But I was very shielded, but they'd let me watch the cartoons because they were cartoons. But then that was back when oh, I forgot his name for a second. The Batman cartoons. That was the main creator
Bruce Timm.
Bruce Timm.
Yep.
My brain kept on going Tim Burton. The Bruce Timm cartoons, like kind of the first adult cartoons disguised as a kid.
There was a lot of themes that were very heavy and
like dark. Like horrible.
I wouldn't even say dark, just very mature.
Oh, I don't know.
I mean, not dark.
So
as in,
many
like,
horrible
blood and guts
deaths,
and,
though. Like, that's you can't
but
judge maturity.
Complex. It was definitely a complex.
You can't
story.
Judge maturity by blood and stuff like that, though. Like in Captain America, for instance.
Oh, I'm sorry. Nobody's seen that movie yet. Maybe you shouldn't talk about it.
I'm not gonna spoil anything, but it's a violent movie. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, I would not have called that a kids' movie.
But it passes because it's and kids are gonna go see see that movie because there's no blood in that movie, but there are some horrible things that happen to people in that movie.
This is very true.
Yeah.
This is very true.
But yeah, see, like, I think that's, it's an interesting thing because I think it's an interesting way to get kids, like, it's like fairy tales. Like, fairy tales are really just like a messed up way to scare kids.
Yeah.
But they, it's like horrible things happen to kids in fairy tales that if they tried doing it like in a real, realistic way, I'm using quotation marks, that they wouldn't pass this, the code or whatever.
Right.
But it's like, that doesn't matter. Like, blood isn't what, like, blood's scary, but like, it's the there's a reason blood's scary. And even if you don't show it, it's still going to be scary.
Right.
But, oh no, we got on this topic. But I like the Bruce Timm. Can we talk more about Bruce Timm? Because he's awesome. And apparently he's got a new Batman movie, animated movie coming out. Did you hear about that?
I know he has been involved with almost every animated DC movie.
Mm. They have a new one coming out, though. I'm not sure what the...
Oh, Batman and Son?
There's that one. There's another one they announced recently. Because they've been showing trailers for the Batman and Son with Damian and everything.
Right.
I'm excited about that.
I haven't heard about it.
I'm excited for everyone to fight it on about Damian and Batman and Son.
You know what I'd like to see? I'd like to see, especially with a lot of these independent titles and stories, it's hard to get the studios,
or what?
The studios to back a full, you know, summer blockbuster under, you know, an independent comic title.
Mm-hmm.
But it would be neat to see if some direct-to-DVD stuff, the way Warner Brothers does their direct-to-DVD stuff, kind of entered the realm of Dark Horse and entered the realm of Image. We saw a couple of those a couple years back with Hellboy.
Yeah.
You know, there was some Hellboy animated direct-to-DVD videos. That
stuff was awesome.
I believe Cartoon Network eventually ended up playing them.
Yeah, the movie, that's where I saw it. Right. I think, like, Sword of Storms or something like that.
Yeah.
That's good stuff. But, and have you seen Lobster Johnson?
Yeah.
Oh, so good. Like, that's, I want, his name, Mike Mignola. Mike Mignola. He's cool. I don't ever know how to pronounce these people's names because I just read them most of the time and don't actually talk about them. But, I love everything he does. Like, he's one of those dudes, like, just, he can just crank out stuff.
Actually, I was fortunate enough to meet him at Heroes Con.
Oh, yeah, you mentioned that.
2 years ago. Eric Powell will be at this Heroes Con.
Mm-hmm.
Despite the website, for some reason, they didn't have a list yet.
Yeah, I'm hoping they have, like, because they haven't listed any of the indie people working there.
And
they usually have
Eric
a pretty good
Powell
indie crowd.
Is, as you know, the creator of Goon, which is being made into a 3D animated movie.
Hopefully. I backed that Kickstarter, and I haven't heard anything yet.
There is a lot of people who backed that Kickstarter, and it's growing in popularity. So hopefully, you know, in a couple years, we'll finally get the Goon movie. If that's what it takes to get some of these stories told and in the limelight, by all means, you know, support Kickstarter projects.
And it's a good animation group working on it. You have seen their stuff. If you play video games, I can guarantee you've seen their work because they've done every opening cinematic. Like, if you've seen, like, a video game and it's like, that intro was amazing, and then the game doesn't look anything like that, more than likely it was Blur Studios who made that intro. And they're trying to break into the big leagues of actual cinematic movies with Goon. And that was one of the big reasons I backed it, because I knew they could do a good job on
it.
Eric Powell's great, though. He's hilarious.
He's a very nice guy.
Is he a nice guy?
Yeah.
That makes me really happy, because Goon is not a nice comic. Like, it's actually like a really mean comic.
You know what, though?
Very
Goon
scathing.
Goon is very fun.
It is.
It's fun in the way that, like, Sin City's kind of fun, in that, like, rough and tough.
Is Sin,
like,
City fun? I don't find Sin City fun.
I find, not in a wholesome way.
No, but
not
no.
Not even in a cartoony way, but
yeah,
in that, like,
I don't,
sometimes Sin City, a man just gotta be a man kind of way.
Oh, okay.
And I find Sin City,
I never, see, that's
that
the thing about, we can talk about Frank
style.
Miller for a little bit, because Frank Miller, for a long time, I thought was tongue-in-cheek, but then I just realized he's crazy. And I was just like, I'm like, oh, you're just a crazy, like, get off my lawn, kids. Like, what did he think of the new 300 movie?
What did
he
think?
Because he wrote the first 300.
Yeah. I did not see the second 300.
I've heard a couple
I've
good
heard
things.
It's very okay.
Yeah.
I think part of the problem with the 300 movie was that too much time had gone by. The first one came out in 2006.
A while, yeah. Wow.
We've had a new president since then. You know
what
I mean?
Yeah, I was in high school. Wow.
So,
wow. They should have waited like the whole 10 years and done like an anniversary edition or something.
What I am jonesing for is
jonesing.
A Dame to Kill For, Sin City 2.
Oh, yeah.
Which is coming out later this year. And I think that is going to be.
I like Joseph Gordon-Levitt. I like all the actors involved on the project. I'm actually excited to see Jessica Alba again because I liked her in high school.
It's not to love about Jessica Alba.
She's fun.
Robert Rodriguez is back directing it.
That's okay because I didn't like he didn't I don't think he worked on The Spirit, which is like the indie comic. Like it's like the original. I don't think he did. I don't know. Maybe he did.
I want to say he directed this movie.
I think Frank Miller did it. Okay, wait. I can have my phone. Like, because last time I did this podcast, I was, like, talking about stuff, and I didn't know what I was talking about, but now I have the internet at my hands. Let's keep talking about things while I look up who directed The Spirit. You liked The Spirit. I did not.
I liked The Spirit. I'm probably a very small group of people who enjoyed The Spirit. I didn't love it, obviously.
I
if you're a Will
like
Eisner
it.
Fan, you're not going
to
like it. If you're a Sin City fan, it's not as dark as Sin City. So it was like, it had a weird voice to it.
It was
almost similar to like a radio show, kind of like the Green Hornet movie with Seth Rogen.
A lot
of people hated that movie. My thought on it was, if you've ever listened to a radio show, that's what it was. It was a radio show on film. Was it great?
It goes back to Frank Miller. It would be nice if he was actually doing it tongue-in-cheek, but I actually think he believed and, like, supported a lot of, like, the idea that he falls in love with every woman he meets and stuff like that, and it's like, no, he's just a whore. But, yeah, I mean, because you like Frank Miller, but I've just kind of gotten, like, I've seen the way, like, have you seen, like stuff that he does outside of comics?
Like his political rants
and
stuff? I mean, you can, like, appreciate the work of someone without appreciating the person.
Doesn't it kind of taint it for you a little bit, though? Like,
if you're able to keep the two worlds separate... So, for
Should
instance,
you?
I love the book Ender's Game. I don't like Scott Card.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
He's a Raleigh, or I'm sorry, a North Carolina local, too.
Try and get him on the show.
Something tells me Orson Scott Card is not going to come on the show.
He might. I don't know. Maybe he does that kind of thing.
Highly doubt it.
So, my phone's charged, but it's not working.
All right.
But
we'll leave it in the notes of the
I'm
show notes.
I'm
gonna say Rodriguez did actually direct.
It's his style, but like in my hate of Frank Miller, in my mind he like stole Rodriguez's style because he's a director. A director before Sin City.
He did
RoboCop 2,
yep.
Which has he done anything besides that? How did he get that job?
He wrote RoboCop.
Oh, did he? The first one?
He wrote 4 RoboCop. Yeah.
Really. Huh, that actually makes sense.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. Because he's kind of got the movie has that edge, but it's a lot... Like, RoboCop has actually... Well, no, there's no subtlety to RoboCop. There's some subtlety to RoboCop, but, like, that's what Frank Miller
likes.
Did you
see the remake of RoboCop?
No, did you?
No.
Did anyone? I don't think
if you saw the remake to RoboCop, shout it out in the comments. Let us know how it was. All right, man.
Tell us why.
I think the show's kind of calming down. And,
yeah.
Getting kind of late in the day, so we're gonna go ahead and wrap this up. And
I'm gonna read my Fantastic Four comics.
He's got his comics to read. I got a con to go check out.
Yeah, you gotta go buy some stuff.
Yeah,
you got your list?
I got a mental list.
Yeah, mental list. What's on your list? Anything good? Are you just trying to finish some collections?
Just little holes in the collection that I need.
Yeah.
So on that note, hey, thanks for listening, and I'll catch you guys back here. With No Big Two.
Bye, guys.
One.